It's very hard today for a modern surgeon to understand what a patient would experience at these times. I know that I would be absolutely terrified. I know that the pain would be intense and almost unbearable. And I know that as a surgeon today, I could have great difficulty in performing the surgery, the rapid surgery, some of which was extremely skillful, that was needed at this time. So patients expected pain. Their families were used to early deaths, loss of half their children, women dying in childbirth, and the loss of a habitation and salary if somebody became crippled with an accident at work. So they were used and inured to suffering and pain. It's not that they were better or tougher people than us, it's the way they grew up with this bad and risky environment. I know that at the time of Nelson, the longevity was, for a sailor, was about 42 years of age. And because death was so early in many cases, although of course there are many examples of men living much longer, diseases such as atheroma, heart disease, stroke, and cancers were far less common. And so patients in civilian life suffered fractures, abscesses, boils, fevers, and they were treated by their practitioners. But death was just round the corner for many people, and even the most minor operation could be followed by a lethal complication. And that is why Surgeon Astley Cooper, who was Royal Surgeon in the early 19th century, was made a baronet for just taking a small cyst off George III's scalp. It wasn't that it was a difficult operation, but the risks were enormous. Infection was almost inevitable after surgery or wounding, and hence the survival occurred. An abscess might form, or a bone might heal, or even a penetrating abdominal injury might recover. And survivals, some survivals after, for instance, chest and abdominal injuries were incredible. For instance, a musket ball passing into the lower left abdomen and the patient having very little in the way of symptoms and passing the musket ball per rectum. The body has ways of walling off sepsis, but it was the exception rather than the rule. There was no way that an abdomen could be opened and surgery carried out because there was no anaesthesia at this time, and there was no muscle relaxation to allow the surgeon to perform. And patients just went on suffering the most amazing ordeals, and one just cannot imagine how that would happen. So life without anaesthesia was absolutely ghastly, although some patients seem to endure the suffering better than others. And certainly after Waterloo, the Marquis of Anglesey, when he had he was Lord Uxbridge then, had his leg amputated after a gunshot wound of the knee, made little complaint, his pulse didn't alter, and was perfectly calm. And there's no doubt that some patients, as we've discovered from research in World War II, trauma surgery, do not suffer as much pain as others. The pain fibres are blocked at a spinal level. Antisepsis was a long way off yet, and so the regime we discussed previously of bleeding the patient, causing emesis and catharsis, was used, the antiphlogistic regimen. Although by the end of the Napoleonic Wars, there was indeed some scepticism about the practice of bloodletting. It was seen to be illogical. But survival after any form of amputation, which was one of the biggest operations produced at the time, was possible. The overall amputation rate of Baron Larrey's practice after the French invasion of Russia in 1812 was around 20%, which is pretty good. And this means that 80 out of 100 patients will live, albeit maybe with complications. So death was sometimes inevitable, and there was little done in the way of hospice care or giving much painkiller, and death would be as uncomfortable as possible in those times. And often burial was carried out quickly because of deterioration of the body. And after Waterloo, most soldiers were buried in mass graves, and some officers' bodies were brought home if their families could afford it.